Thursday, June 7th, 2018. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. In this hour, jazz from the past dressed up for the present. A famous jazz session from the 60s is remembered and honored by Rogue Valley musicians in a concert tomorrow night. Two of the performers join us in studio to talk about their efforts and play some music. You'll hear from Ed Dunsavage and Thor Polson shortly. First, let's get a weather forecast. Here's our student assistant, Darnell Willison. Hi, Darnell.
Thank you, Jeff. In the Southern Oregon Cascades and Siskiyous today, mostly sunny with a high near 68, and tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 39. In Yreka, mostly sunny with a high near 84, and tonight, partly cloudy with a chance for showers and thunderstorms, a bit of a breeze, and a low around 48. In Weed and Mount Shasta, mostly sunny with a high near 77, and tonight, partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a low around 45. In Redding and Red Bluff, sunny with a high up near 87, and tonight, clear with a low around 59. In the Klamath Basin, mostly sunny with a high near 78, and tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 44. On the Southern Oregon coast today, partly sunny with a high near 64, and tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 50. On the Northern California coast, cloudy with some morning fog, then gradually clearing up with a high near 60. And tonight, some fog in the evening, otherwise clearing up with a low around 50. In Roseburg in the Umpqua Basin, mostly sunny with a high near 78. And tonight, mostly clear with a low around 49. In Grants Pass, Medford, and Ashland, mostly sunny with a high up near 86. And tonight, mostly clear with a low around 53. And in Eugene and Springfield today, partly cloudy with a high around 73. And tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 45.
Thank you, Darnell. So a bit of a changeable pattern. I've noticed that occasionally the June breezes, those famous June breezes, die in the evening of late. That makes sleeping a little more difficult because it just doesn't get quite as cool with the clouds beginning to move in. We should see the temperatures really drop. Generally north of the state line, they'll be bottoming out into the 60s and below on Saturday, with a good chance of rain on Saturday as well. So some June precipitation potentially on the way. Further south in Redding, for example, though there's no chance of rain, and the temperatures will stay no lower than the mid to upper 70s. So a couple good days on the way, but with some rain involved. Thanks for listening to us on the Jefferson Exchange today. We always appreciate when you're here with us. Wes Montgomery might not be a household name in your house. Same for Wynton Kelly, but Wes Montgomery and the Wynton Kelly Trio put on a show in the mid-60s and put that show on an album called Smokin' at the Half Note. As you'll hear, the album impressed a lot of people, and it will be paid tribute in a concert tomorrow evening in Ashland featuring the two musicians we'll visit with in this hour. Ed Dunsavage and Thor Polson, Ed on guitar and Thor on piano, represent a portion of the musicians present at tomorrow's session, which is really a return engagement after an earlier session sold out. Let's understand the history and hear some of the music. Ed Dunsavage, good to have you back in the studio.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
Thor Polson, good to meet you and good to have you here.
Good to be here. Thank you.
So what is the significance of this session, this album that you guys are recreating in a sense?
Well, it kind of came about. I've been a fan of Wes. He's been an influence of mine for many, many years. And I've known Thor for a long time, but we had never really played together. And when he announced that he's going to be leaving town in the fall, I said, well, it'd be good for us to do something together. And so we started talking about this idea of a tribute to Wes and the Wynton Kelly Trio, because he was obviously an influence on Thor as well, the Wynton Kelly Trio. So that was the idea. And so we decided to do a concert in April through the Siskiyou Music Project at the Old Siskiyou Barn, which was great, and it sold out right away. And Thor has been playing for a number of years at the La Baguette Bakery every other Saturday, and a lot of those folks, because it sold out so quick, couldn't make it, so we decided to do a reprise. So that's what's happening tomorrow night.
Thor Polson, you're leaving the Rogue Valley after not very many years, though, right?
Well, actually about nine or mm-hmm. so. I moved here. The only thing I remember crossing the Rockies in my U-Haul, and the only thing I knew was that I would be studying classical piano with Alexander Tudinov at the university. And I did for 3 years. It was just a chronological survey of the piano literature. And he agreed to take me on. I had flown out in advance to talk with him, and he had heard my recordings, and he took me on for 3 years. So I was a part-time student at SOU for 3 years. And then in the meantime, I was hired to teach Latin and German at St. Mary's School including AP Latin, AP German. And I had taught at St. Mary's for 1 year around the turn of the century. So they took me back, and everything worked out. I've since taught piano. I'm still teaching piano. I play gigs. I do language tutoring. I've retired from St. Mary's. I did that. I retired a year ago. So I've been semi-retired.
Mm-hmm. So you left out the ancient Greek. Don't you know ancient Greek as well?
Well, that's true. Yeah. I do know ancient Greek. I have 2 graduate degrees in ancient Greek, actually, and I'm working on my 3rd book, which is a historical novel based on the life of Xenophon, who was one of Socrates' followers. So that's a long-term project. And I've taught Greek at the secondary and collegiate levels throughout my life, but not out here.
Uh-huh. Wow, so many irons in the fire. That's impressive.
Versatility is the key to survival. I mean, no kidding. I mean, if one thing falls away, you can rely on something else, I hope. And music's been a beautiful thing to rely on. I mean, yeah, it's been wonderful.
Well, it's great that you guys got a chance to work together before Thor leaves town. Why don't we got time before a break to play. Was it Leela is the first thing you want to play?
Yes, this is a piece by Wes Montgomery, really beautiful piece that we'll play for you.
Okay, here we go. Ed Dunn Savage on guitar and Thor Poulsen on piano here on the Jefferson Exchange. Ed Dunn Savage and Thor Poulsen on guitar and piano here in the studio at the Jefferson Exchange, preparatory to their concert tomorrow, which is going to feature the Ed Dunn Savage Trio and Thor Poulsen. So 5 of you together, or are there some odd numbers?
Quartet.
In there? Quartet.
Yeah, so Chicken Hirsch on drums and Joe Cahoon on the bass.
All right, so looks like a good session coming up. We'll hear more from Ed and Thor, and more about the concert, and more about the history behind it, because it's really a recreation, in a sense, of what Wes Montgomery did low those many years ago. We'll come back to the Jefferson Exchange and talk more with our guests and hear more of their music in a minute 30. back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. It's one of those relaxed Thursdays when we get a chance to have some music in the studio. Not relaxed, perhaps, with the performers who I hear don't necessarily like to get out and play music before 10 o'clock in the morning, but we very much appreciate the efforts of Ed Dunn-Savage, who is the executive director of the Siskiyou Music Project and the head of the Ed Dunn-Savage Trio. Back in the studio, this time with Thor Poulsen, a keyboard player of some renown, talking about the concert they have coming up tomorrow night with Thor and the Ed Dunn-Savage Trio, recreating the Smokin' at the Blue Note album that Wes Montgomery and Wynton Kelly did in the mid-60s. We'll get fixes on the date in just a moment. So anyway, let's move into the discussion here a little further. So was the Smokin' at the Blue Note session, Ed, some achievement of a higher level than these guys had achieved before? Was there something that really made this stand out from what they had done before?
Yeah, so it's actually Smokin' at the Half Note. I do that all the time. I
wrote down wrong myself.
Well, Wes had been playing off and on with this particular trio. He played with several different ensembles, and this happened to be two nights that they recorded at the Half Note with the Wynton Kelly Trio. And Wynton Kelly Trio also was Miles Davis's rhythm section. So they were really renowned, rhythm section. And so they had a great rapport, and so the sessions got recorded, and actually on the original album that was released, only two of the cuts, the live cuts, were used. They actually went back into the studio 3 months later and recorded a bunch of tunes, and so they've reissued over the years a couple different versions of that recording. But yeah, it's just one of those, seminal jazz recordings, kind of along the lines of Miles Davis kind of blue. It's just one of those desert island recordings. If I was going to have 10 recordings,
that's really one of them.
Yeah, Pat Metheny even is quoted as saying that he basically learned to play guitar by listening to this album, which is just it's sort of the quintessential jazz guitar album. Yeah.
So Thor Poulsen, as the guy on keyboards on a jazz guitar album, is there a little less reverence for the material for you, or is it something you'd also been aware of through your musical training days?
Well, yeah, indirectly, I took occasional lessons from Laura Caviani, a great jazz pianist in the Twin Cities, and she had a deep reverence for the playing of Wynton Kelly. So more indirectly through Wynton, again, there's a strong Miles Davis connection. All this, which is what Ed just mentioned, certainly. It's interesting playing with a guitarist. This is something I've wanted to do. I mean, especially as a duo, we're both melody makers and harmony makers. So there's a question of
who's in front and who's in the back.
Well, making that work. I mean, in other words, if Ed's playing a single line like a horn or something, I can get a bit wackier with the harmonizations and the comping in the background. But I would say it takes a little bit more listening than usual.
Heavy listening, for
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, and so of course, there are the Jim Hall, Bill Evans recordings, maybe two or three of those. Intermodulation was one, and I can't remember the other one. But so those guys as a duo, even more so. I mean, with a rhythm section, when you have the drums and basses, that adds a different dimension. But it's different than playing behind a horn player, certainly, yeah.
Well, and I was going to ask you, too, about the differences. You mentioned studying classical piano mm-hmm. in the Rogue Valley with Alexander Tutnov, who's in mm-hmm. residency in Southern Oregon University. Mm-hmm. Are they different parts of your brain for classical piano and jazz piano?
Well, I see them as being two sides of the same coin. Tutnov says that you can't do both. And I would agree with that. I mean, as we consider our immortality, there's a limited number of years in our lives, and there's some exceptions. Keith Jarrett has been pretty successful in recording on both sides. But I think Tutnov is right in that it has an influence in that I play pieces sometimes, and you say, you're swinging the eighth notes.
That's what I was going to ask about, the swing you want to put in there from
right,
jazz.
Right,
yeah.
So I needed to straighten those eighth notes up on occasion, and there are other things as well. But I think technically the classical music has kept my technique much cleaner and crisper and more precise. I often think the best thing I can do for my jazz playing is to practice classical music, and vice versa. The best thing I do what's the first thing I said?
Sorry, within each genre helps the other, it sounds
yeah,
like. Yeah,
they really do. So I go back and forth all the time, they really complement each other very well, I think, yeah.
West Coast Blues, is that the item you wanted to do next?
Yeah, that's a piece by Wes Montgomery. It's a unique blues that is in three-quarter time.
Okay, three-quarter. All right, well, looking forward to this. This is Ed Dunsavage on guitar, Thor Poulsen on piano in the studio.
One, two, three, one, two, three.
The end. That is Thor Poulsen on piano, Ed Dunsavage on guitar, preparatory to a concert they'll be giving tomorrow night at La Baguette in Ashland. It's a recreation of Smokin' at the Half Note, a Wes Montgomery album with the Wynton Kelly Trio from what year was that, Ed?
1965. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of an interesting period. So, you know, Wes's career was fairly short. He only lived to 45 years old. He died in 1968. In fact, I was reading his bio, and it's kind of interesting with all the news about 50 years ago. You know, 50 years ago this week, Robert Kennedy was assassinated, right. Martin Luther King this year. You know, so many things. 50 years ago, I was 12 years old, and so I can't say I was really aware of Wes Montgomery because I wanted to be Jimi Hendrix and Eric Clapton and Jimmy Page. And I'm sure I probably heard his music, but I definitely wasn't listening to jazz at 12. I was definitely a rock and roller. But, you know, reading his bio, 1 week, a little over a week, I think it was June 15th or June 16th, 50 years ago, he woke up and died of a heart attack after coming back from a big European tour. And he was at the height of his success. You know, he was toiling as a jazz artist for, you know, 20 years. And in 1965, he got signed to A&M Records and started doing these recordings that most jazz aficionados sort of stick their nose up at, because he was playing with large string sections and doing pop tunes. He did a whole album of Beatles tunes and things that, you know, jazz purists really kind of look down on. When you listen to the recordings, he's still playing great. He still sounds like Wes. But yeah, in the overall context, he's playing with these lush string arrangements and such. So at the same time, he was doing this, he recorded this recording with the Wynton Kelly Trio. So he always was playing great. He always played jazz for himself, but he was being produced, highly produced. And, you know, he had 8 kids. He needed to make some money.
He
went from working a factory job during the day, going out and doing local gigs around, you know, downtown Indianapolis, and then he'd come home and practice, you know. And that was part of how he developed the technique that he did, which is, you know, very unique in terms of playing with his thumb. He did not use a pick.
Mark Knopfler style.
Well, this is Wes Montgomery style. He basically, instead of using a pick, he would go, which gave it a softer sound, and he wouldn't disturb his family and his neighbors when he was practicing late at night. That's kind of how it came about. It wasn't a conscious decision. It was more like, you know, playing with the pick is kind of loud. How can I be quieter?
Right.
And at the same time, he developed this technique of using octaves, which is playing on adjacent strings, every other string, and playing an octave up. So he was playing. So it just came up with this very unique way of playing melodies, which is very identifiable. You hear 2 notes and you know it's Wes Montgomery.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
That is the Wes Montgomery sound.
That's his sound.
You were talking about the strings, and that brings up a question for Thor, because you obviously, you've studied classical piano, you know jazz piano as well. Do you get tired of the genre boundaries that people want to draw so brightly sometimes?
Well, good question. I mean, I've always said that you begin to kill something when you label it. So, you know, by erecting those boundaries, you're saying, well, we are this and we're not that. And that if an art form is to grow, that really limits that in many ways. He was talking about strings. I can think of Charlie Parker. You know, he made those recordings with strings. And so, you know, the jazz community, again, it's always irritated me that if there's some measure of commercial success, you know, these jazzers who hardly earn anything, they get poo-pooed by the jazz gurus.
They're called they're selling out, supposedly.
They're selling out.
They broke the orthodoxy.
Right. Exactly. And if I could that was true of Brubeck as well. Dave Brubeck, so the guy was popular. I mean, so, you know, there are a lot of jazz critics whose style is too bombastic, there's too many pop elements. I mean, it goes on and on. Let me tell this joke because anyone listening will appreciate it. The difference between a blues musician and a jazz musician. And what is the difference? What is the difference? A blues musician plays 3 chords for hundreds of people, and a jazz musician plays hundreds of chords for 3 people. And so, so poor, you know, Wes. He had these commercial successes, and gosh, we're all hard. If you have more than 10 people in a crowd, the jazz community says you've sold out or something. I mean, I don't get it, but what can you say?
So you have another song we can do before break. What's New,
next
on the menu here?
Yeah, What's New, a beautiful ballad that was included on the live album that they did. Yeah,
and that live album, again, was called Smoking at the Half Note. I want to make sure we're clear on the Half Note. Mm-hmm. Half Note was a place? Was it a club?
That was a club in New York, yeah.
All right. And so here we go once again with Ed Dunn Savage on guitar, Thor Poulsen on piano here on the Jefferson Exchange. Thank you. Gorgeous. The sounds of Ed Dunsavage on guitar and Thor Poulsen on piano here in the studio at the Jefferson Exchange. They'll be playing a concert tomorrow night, Thor Poulsen and the Ed Dunsavage Trio, doing a tribute to Wes Montgomery and Wynton Kelly, reprising, in a sense, the Smokin' at the Half Note album from 1965. We have more Visit up ahead and more music up ahead as well as we come back and talk more with Ed Dunsavage and Thor Poulsen. Back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 25. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're getting a chance for a musical interlude here on the Exchange this morning because we have in the studio Thor Poulsen with a portable piano. Thank you, Kauai, for making things so light and easy to bring around. And Ed Dunsavage on guitar. Ed has been a regular in the studio many times over the years. It's at least five times now, I'm thinking you've been.
Probably, yeah.
Okay, Ed. Ed runs the Siskiyou Music Project and is all part of the summer concert series as well. So he and Thor with the Ed Dunsavage Trio. So that's four people altogether playing tomorrow night at the La Baguette Listening Room on A Street in Ashland, reprising a concert they did in April, was it?
Mm-hmm.
That sold out. So it's essentially a revisiting of a famous session with Wes Montgomery and the Wynton Kelly trio, an album called Smokin' in the Half Note from 1965. And we're just digging on the tunes and digging on the story of it all as well. And I wanted to ask you, Ed, because it seems like in every visit to the studio, this does not surprise me, given that you are a professional guitarist, that you bring a different guitar each time. So tell us about this one. Is it the archtop with F-holes?
Yeah. So that's, yeah, this has been my regular guitar as of late. It's actually made by the Eastman Company, and it was designed by the guitarist John Pisano. So it's the John Pisano model. John Pisano is still alive and well in L.A. He was known for being Joe Pass's rhythm guitar player for many years, and he was also part of the Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass in the day. And John's in his 80s and still playing, and also this is a beautiful guitar, and that's the sound of jazz guitar. I play, as you say, I'm a little bit of a collector, and I have a bunch of different ones, so I like bringing different ones when I come into the studio. But that was Wes's sound. I mean, he played a Gibson L5 for guitar heads out there, and it's similar to this big fat body guitar. And he just, he had that sound, but really his sound was in his hands.
The joke about the and it is, granted it's a joke, but there's obviously truth in any joke. The idea of knowing hundreds of chords, though, I mean, as I watch your hands move over the neck of the guitar, and I've been watching this for, I don't know, 25 mm-hmm. years now, I guess. In fact, I watched a while ago one of the other songs where you got into the low strings and were playing essentially a bass line underneath. At this point, do you even know the names of the chords anymore, or do you just go to
them?
Well,
I know the names, but ideally you don't want to be thinking about that while you're playing. You're playing, trying to be spontaneous in the moment. And that's the thing about that, maybe one of the differences in jazz and classical music is that in jazz music, you really have to know the theory, how all the chords, how all the scales work together, how to improvise using that material, and ultimately translate that to your instrument so you don't have to think about it. Whereas in classical music, it's a lot about the technique, interpretation, and reading the score. You're still staying true to the score. Here, I always call improvisation spontaneous composition. So you're composing in the moment, which is the thing that attracted me to it. What Thor said before about Tutnov saying, you can't do both, that's right. Because I have studied classical music, I've studied classical guitar technique, but I just realized, the technique is great that I can apply, but I'll never be a great classical guitarist, and I just keep aspiring to be a good jazz guitarist and keep working on it.
So Thor Poulsen, for you in your sessions with Alexander Tutnov, does he ever just stop you and say, excuse me, it's not jazz?
Again, if I slightly swung the eighth notes, but besides that, I mean, because I grew up playing and practicing classical music. So you could see a slight corruption there of some kind, I suppose. but it was mostly in the rhythms. And really, I've working with him has had a profound influence on my playing. I just listen to things differently and how I voice chords. And Ed's absolutely right in that, I mean, any thinking you do, you do at home. I mean, on a gig, it's just you're standing before an endless series of crossroads. And you can't. I mean, you can't think. Well, let me see. Well, I'm gonna. Am I gonna diminish the fifth here? I mean, you have no room. You just. I mean, if it's really slow, you say, well, by golly, and two measures from now, I'm gonna diminish that fifth. But it just doesn't work that way. You can't think. So you rely on all those years of trial and error. I mean, when you play a jazz tune, you say, well, I like that particular voicing. Whereas another person wouldn't necessarily, and that's how you develop your style. You make choices, and you continue to make choices. You have certain preferences. Monk liked lots of, he liked minor seconds and all this, and Bill Evans liked them down here. He liked those sorts of voicings, and he constantly displaced the harmonic pulse, for example. That's another one of his characteristics that I've worked hard to imitate. But, it's thinking. Thinking is a dangerous thing to be doing.
on the spot.
Yeah. On the spot.
When you want to do the study.
At home, you're thinking like crazy. You think, well, and what can I do in this context? And then hopefully that will come up while you're improvising, although frustratingly so. I've been working like crazy on pentatonic scales, and they do occur sometimes. And they will more and more, but they're just not bubbling up quite as often as I would like. I mean, there was Michael Brecker said it takes about 6 months for the things that you're practicing actually just to be automatically incorporated into your improvising.
That's a great theory.
I mean, and that guy practiced all the time. I mean, like Coltrane, he's in the bathrooms and backstage and in his car while he's driving. I don't know what he's doing, but it's just an interesting process. It takes a while for these things to be integrated, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Exactly. I want to talk instruments with you, too, because, 25 years ago, I'm guessing it was not possible to bring a piano with weighted keys and the carbon pads that make it louder when you hit it harder, all that stuff, and have it be, what, 25 pounds? Is that what they
weighs? It's about 35.
35, okay.
Yeah.
But that must be a godsend for somebody who plays keyboards.
Oh, it really is. And, I mean, I had a Fender Rhodes, which was, it seemed to weigh 200 pounds.
It's got those metal bars
in
there and everything.
It was really, really heavy. And then I went down, then I got a Yamaha, which was 70 pounds, and this is about 38 pounds. So it's not so much heavy as it is unwieldy, it is a godsend. I mean, for gigs, and this is very, it's just a slab, and it's made a huge difference for everybody, yeah.
And it sounds like a good piano. I mean, it's got that sound.
Yeah, it's a pretty good sound, yeah. Yeah.
So let's see. Why don't we move on to a final thing? Heartstrings. Is this the last piece you guys wanted to play?
Yeah.
Sure.
How do you want to do this?
We have time to stretch this out a little bit, or what's our time?
You do. Yeah. Yeah. We got about 8 minutes left. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's,
okay.
Let's,
so how are we gonna?
Let's play some solos.
Okay. Do you want to? You want to go first with a solo?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
This is a tune written by the vibraphonist Milt Jackson. Thank you.
Smile's going to be stuck on my face for a while. Ed Dunn Savage on guitar, Thor Poulsen on piano here in the studio. Their concert is tomorrow night. That's Friday, June 8th at 7:30 at La Baguette Listening Room in Ashland on A Street at La Baguette. There's Thor Poulsen with the Ed Dunn Savage Trio. It's an homage to Wes Montgomery and Wynton Kelly Trio playing together in 1965 in a session that produced an album called Smokin' at the Half Note. Gentlemen, some wonderful stuff here today. Any final words for the audience about what to expect if you come out?
Just come out and have a good time. La Baguette's a really nice, it's a small space. It's probably going to be a sellout again, but at least we have an outdoor area where people can hang out and listen to the music as well. If you don't mind me putting in a quick plug, coming up in 2 weeks, I'll be involved again for the 4th annual Brit Guitar Weekend happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a really great weekend of guitar workshops. There's some scholarships involved. There's student rates. Go on the Brit website to learn more about it. I'll be teaching a class on bossa nova guitar.
I see Paige Hamilton, Hawkeye Herman, Terry Robb, Grant Ruiz all back.
Yep.
Okay. There should be a Brit piano weekend, too, don't you think?
I would think so, yeah. What's this world coming to? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Talk to Tutanoff.
He'll straighten things out. Okay.
I had a suggestion, too. I would suggest showing up tomorrow evening fairly early, unless you can make reservations. You can go to the Siskiyou Music Institute.
Right. We're close to 50 reservations, and the place probably holds about 60 people, so,
okay,
so it'll be a full house.
Definitely close. Well, thanks, then.
Full house. Another great Wes Montgomery tune, full house.
Okay. Thanks for bringing this into the studio so people can appreciate it, even if they can't make it tomorrow night. Thor Poulsen, Ed Dunn Savage, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeffrey.